Hey there, this is Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Conscious Living is the show. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day, good night, good life, good situation. I could keep going, but then it'd be, you know, the end of the show. I don't want to do that. I want to welcome my guest, who is an animal communicator. One of these things I really love in terms of working with energy is that it isn't just about people. It's about everything here. And we are not just talking, even though we think that only is something, you know, like another human is hearing us. Our animals, our pets, they're connected to us in so many ways. And so bringing in an animal communicator to help highlight and give us a little more instruction about how we can create a better situation scenario with our own pets or the animals in our lives is an assist. Sue Pike is my guest today, and she has a couple of sites you can check out. You can check out her Facebook page, also Animal Channeler on Blogspot, and she's got some updates on different types of Reiki work and that kind of stuff that you can check into. But I met her because she's connected to Robert Kopecky, and we talked to him earlier, the dying thing. Okay, so he died to meet you. Was that it? No, I'm just, you know, just maybe not.
Maybe.
How did you guys meet?
We met through mutual friends, and when we first met, I had no idea that he had these three near-death experiences. He was already meditating and practicing his spiritual practice. So I didn't find out until we started dating, obviously, about his three near-death experiences. Fascinating.
Now, did he already know about your animal? I mean, we were already into the animal communication stuff?
Actually, no. When we first met, I was doing Reiki, and he was a big supporter of that. And I offered him a Reiki session very early on, and he just loved it. And in fact, he's attuned to Reiki 1 now. And not by me, by a woman who actually married us. She's a Reiki master as well, and she attuned him to Reiki. So I didn't start doing animal communication until a little later on with him, of course, and I started with horses of a friend of his in Utah. That's how it all began for me. So,
okay. So now if you're listening, Robert Kopecky has the book, How to Survive Life and Death. It's a guide for happiness in this world and beyond. And obviously it's worked for him because Sue is part of the equation. Got it?
Yes.
Yeah. See, so I just want to give that little plug there because I did the interview with him. And if you're listening, you can find it in the archives. Just do a Google.
Yeah, it's a wonderful interview. So I highly recommend listening.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I tell you, you're part of the equation though. When you're doing this kind of work and finding people who have similar interests, even if they aren't on the same page.
Yes.
Reiki opens you to basically a different mindset.
Definitely. And in fact, that's what really was the beginning for me to open me up to all of these possibilities of connecting to different realms. And I just feel so blessed and grateful that I realized I could do this work with animals. And when I first learned Reiki, I was actually practicing Reiki with animals, and I had no idea I was going to be an animal communicator at that time.
What was the difference? I mean, how did that shift?
Well, what happened was, in the middle of my Reiki training, I believe I was attuned to Reiki 2 at this point, I started channeling. I started to become a spirit channeler from many different spiritual realms. And I thought, well, if I can channel for people, why can't I for animals? Because I've always had a love for animals. So I just started practicing on animals, and that was it. It was done.
Well, and to me, that's an easier connection there with people. Sometimes it's more complex.
Well, the animals are completely directly connected to the divine, and they don't have the ego that gets in the way of things that people do. But I still love helping people. I obviously have a soft spot for animals, but I love helping people also find their way, you know, connecting to their higher self.
Okay. When you're working with an animal.
Yes.
And communicating. What are some of the things that you've been able to pick up on and hear?
Well, Well, it's so fascinating, and I do want to say that anybody listening can be an animal communicator. I'm not that special. I just want to let everybody know that you all have the gift to be able to connect even deeper to your animals and to any animal, really. It's all about practice. And also opening up your sixth sense, your third eye. And by doing a lot of meditation, you will be able to connect in a way that perhaps you haven't been connecting before in the past. And I have to say, too, that a lot of my clients will say, oh, I had a feeling about that. Oh, I thought my animal was trying to say that. So a lot of times people actually know what they're trying to find out, but they're just not trusting it. And so they contact me to basically validate what a lot of times they already know. So I just want to put a plug out there for people to really work on meditating to open up the pathway, really, to do the animal communication, because everybody can do it. And there's a lot of books out there that have information, step-by-step practice of how you can do it. If we have time, I can do that as well with everybody. But it's just a beautiful thing, and the animals are our great teachers, and they teach us about unconditional love, patience, acceptance, tolerance. They're really all about love, and a lot of the messages I get from the animals are really about to help their people. And so, in fact, a horse last night, I'll give an example, a horse last night I spoke to has performance anxiety, and the person is an amazing equestrian. She shows a lot, and she wanted to know how she can make her horse perform better. And the messages really were about her relaxing more and being more calm and releasing her rigidity and her perfectionism, which in turn would make the horse feel more relaxed, which in turn would actually get the results that the person wanted. So it was kind of counterintuitive a little bit for the person, because she's very, riding and doing dressage is a very precise art form for horses. And so this particular horse, though, kept picking up on this woman's rigidity and her fear about performance, and so she started to get performance anxiety as well. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, that's a classic example. It's that mirroring.
Yes, yes. Animals will mirror our characteristics that we need to work on. And they also mirror illness. So if you find out, if you notice that your cat or dog or horse or whoever is actually experiencing the same symptoms that you are, it's not uncommon. So what you can do is basically thank them for doing a good job in telling you that you need to work on this, and then tell them that you're going to go to the doctor and get better, and that all you want them to do is be healthy and happy. And then you better go to the doctor, because your animal will know if he didn't. So you must follow up. And when you start taking care of yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, then your animal will start feeling better as well.
Some of this, I think, you have, when somebody gets into this, there's already an intuitive and a sympathetic kind of resonance.
Yes.
When you were a kid, how did you relate to animals?
They were my saving grace, actually. When I grew up, in the Catskills, upstate New York, and I didn't have a great childhood. And I would come home and I would go feed the horse and take care of the horse. I grew up and I had a horse and a pig and cats and dogs and all that stuff. So my horse was really my angel at the time, and I spent all my spare time with him. And then later on, I had a cat who helped me through some difficult times. And then when I moved around a lot, and when I lived in another place, I used to go outside and there was a quote-unquote feral cat. It wasn't really that feral, but he was a neighborhood cat who would always come and visit me. And I found out later on from the cat that I had for 18 years, and this is going to sound a little woo-woo, but he is definitely a shaman, and he actually still helps me with my animal sessions now. But he told me that he sent me these other animals before he was able to come to me in cat body. So he actually sent me other animals in my childhood to help me through difficult times.
See, that, you know, you can say woo-woo, but those kinds of experiences when you deal with people who are animal communicators, and I've had my own experiences in dealing. At one point, I thought I was going to do that, and I thought, okay, this is, and I put out my little, I had a little, you know, card made up and all this stuff made up, and I worked with the Humane Society and worked with animals, and but then I realized, no, there are other things that I'm here doing, but the thing was that it helped me to understand and have a better appreciation for what's going on with animal communicators and how right now it's so important for people to make these conscious connections and realize, elevate your awareness, and nature and animals, your environment is speaking to you all the time. And yes, when you don't follow through on your word, it may not be apparent to the people who are with you, but your environment knows exactly if you're walking your talk or not.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. The other thing I wanted to talk about, too, because I experience this a lot with my sessions, and you were asking me what kinds of things I hear, is that animals are not afraid to die. And I really want to talk about that for a minute because it's, you know, obviously it's difficult when we see our beloved pet dying and, you know, it's sad for us. And but they are not, they don't experience the same kind of human fears that we do. And, you know, really they're mostly concerned about us keeping our hearts open always. I mean, the messages I get 100% of the time are, please keep your heart open. You know, this is a message the animal has for their person. And they also like to get permission from their human to cross. They love to hear it from us, you know, just saying, I give you permission to cross. Because they, a lot of times, wait for that because they're so worried about us. And the other thing, too, that I really want to say is that I've never met an animal who's mad at their person for making that really difficult decision to put them down. They understand. They're completely in a different place than we are with all of that. And also, when they are sick and they don't feel well, I've learned that they meditate to get out. They know how to remove themselves from the physical pain. So if you have an animal that's not feeling well and you see them, they're not really sleeping, but they're not awake, they're definitely meditating. And so I just want to let people know that I really have never met an animal since I started doing this in 2007 that's mad at their person for putting them down. It's okay. They're not
scared. I think that's because of the way that a lot of people are connected with death and frightened.
Yes.
Of what might happen or might not happen. That's, again, mirroring the person. The people I've had that I've dealt with in terms of this, I had a difficult time when they would say, well, I don't want to have to go back to the vet and I don't want to do anything else that's going to cost me more money because I can take care of them, but I can only do so much. And then I watch them go through the process of actually doing more money and doing more things to prolong the life, even though the quality of life wasn't going to improve and potentially be worse because of all the extreme measures that were brought into the equation. Yes. And at the same time, the pet was there just as a companion. Whatever the person did was going to be okay with the pet because yes, the two of them were engaged in this. So it wasn't, there was no way to do a judgment call on this, even though I was like, this is painful. But it was like, no. The pet was there to help the person learn how to deal with death.
Yes. Always. They are our great teachers. And I worked with a cat yesterday, actually, who's on his way home, as he likes to call it. And he said, I want a cat cave. So we made this for our cat, actually, which is a chair that you put a blanket over and you keep one opening for them to go inside and either put a little blanket on the floor so that it's comfortable for them. And usually they like a T-shirt or something from their human with the scent on it to make them feel good. And you turn it away from where you would walk in the room. And he said, I want to have this just in case. I might not want it. I might want it. But if I want to be left alone, if I go in there, leave me alone. That's what I'm doing. And he kept saying to his person, don't poke, prod me. Don't put all these things in my body. Please don't keep giving me those pills. Please don't do this and that. I don't need it. And he said, and the one thing you know, you must know is it's not really that pill you're giving me. It's the energy of you when you give it to me.
And that, yeah, that's the intention, that yes, vibration of caring and compassion and energy and empathy. And
right,
a lot of times, you know, it's also hurt and pain because you're just distraught that,
exactly,
you don't want your companion to go through any unnecessary suffering, and then you can't prevent it.
Exactly. Exactly. And again, remember that they know how to remove themselves from pain by meditating. And speaking of meditating, they love when we meditate. And in fact, most animals will meditate with us. And Robert and I, our cat Max, as soon as we start to meditate, he would start in one place and then he would end in another. And if we didn't do it at our normal time, he would sit in the first place and look at us like, come on, what are you guys waiting for? Let's go. It's meditation time.
Uh-huh. We're on schedule here. The clock is ticking and you're
That's
not
right.
here.
It's meditation time here, kids. So if you don't have a meditation practice right now and you want to start one and you have a pet, they will be very happy that you are now meditating. Because when you're calm, obviously your energy translates to them, like you're saying. And then it helps them be calm, too. Plus, they just love to meditate. And animals see spirits, too. Animals, I like to tell people, too, have spirit guides. And in fact, because sometimes an animal I'm working with is distracted or in a traumatic situation, as a spirit channeler, I can channel from their spirit guides and get information that way. So some people didn't know that animals have guides. So I like to let people know that they do too. And a lot of times they talk to them, they see them. Fairies love animals. So a lot of times there's a lot of fairies around your animals. And a lot of times they see your guides as well and sometimes communicate with them.
Have you had some extraordinary experiences in terms of your own reality shifting in conjunction with any of this?
Where do I begin?
That's good, because that's what I would like to share. Yeah.
Well, one of the big shifts that I've had through all of this work is learning how to detach and learning that animals have their own soul contracts, just like people. Because I've had some extraordinary cases where it's been very difficult for me, where I find judgment coming up for myself. And then I realize, you know, as an observer to myself, I'm judging this person. For example, this man wanted to know what happened with his dog and his wife. He knew something happened, but the dog didn't want to go there. The dog knew that it was a sacred thing between him and you know, he didn't want to, you know, rat her out, basically. And the guy ended up killing the dog or putting the dog down. And so I went through my own stuff, and I clearly believe that the animals that come to me for sessions are not just for me to help them and their people, but to help me, obviously, like this dog in particular. So I went through my own, you know, issues with, I can't believe this guy just killed this 5-year-old dog because he wouldn't say what happened with this guy's wife. And this guy had brought this dog from another country. I mean, it was very complicated. And then I realized I was judging him. And then I realized that animals have their own karma and their own soul contracts, just like humans, which I, you know, I knew that intellectually, but I really needed to bring that information from my head to my heart. And
oh,
so
man.
I was able.
That's a tough one. That, I mean, because just in terms of the energy, it has says so much about the guy being feeling helpless and not being able to control the animal and not wanting anything around. If that animal wasn't subservient or responsive to him, then the animal was worthless. And it wasn't about the wife at all. It was about the guy, and the dog just totally ratted him out.
Yeah.
That action just said, okay, you're not going to be bullied by me, then I have no use for you. So see ya. And you just think, oh my goodness gracious. But the dog was there to say, this is what's going on.
Yes.
You know, that's it. That's how he, and the dog then moves on. But
yes. And the dog had no problem with that lesson for him. You know, I was the one with the problem with it initially.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me a couple days and then I really was able to get there. And the next day, of course, the guy's contacting me saying, I really want to make sure the dog is okay. But I hadn't gotten to my love place yet. And I was like, of course he does. He wants to feel better.
Uh-huh.
But then I got to the place and it was okay. And I was actually able to do a session with him with total compassion, detachment, and love for this man, because I knew this dog was there to help him and obviously me as well. So big lessons.
Yeah. As an animal communicator, you are not devoid of emotion. You have to process your own emotions, because you do get caught up in these stories. You get caught up in the dramas around the scenarios. And that one, to me, would be incredibly difficult, because you have empathy for everybody involved, whether you want to or not. It was hard for him to do what he did.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to be, he wanted to get rid of his guilt, is what he wanted to do. And
basically,
in the meantime, the dog knows all the story. No matter what information you have, he and the dog know what really happened. And later on, when it needs to be addressed, it will be addressed in the proper form of what was the lesson. And we don't have to know the details. Those
two
have the deal.
Exactly. And I know when I'm doing a session, if somebody is checked out, it's kind of fascinating to me, because they're calling me to find out whatever they need to find out. And, you know, sometimes it gets a little too real, I think, for some people, because really the lessons, like I've mentioned, are for the people, obviously. And so I have recommendations to help the animal, like flower essences or animal acupuncture or whatever it is. And I can tell that they're not taking notes, that they're already gone. And so that was another lesson for me, is I show up, I do my job, I give the information that is given to me by the animal and or their spirit guides, and then I have to let go of it. Because if I'm worrying if this person has, you know, done X, Y, or Z, I won't sleep at night. You know? Because there's a lot of, you know, I do a lot of sessions and there's a lot of information for each one. And, you know, I just need to know that I'm there to do service. And then I have to let it go.
There's so many things. The dynamic is just, it's much more complex than it appears.
Oh, it's
because
much
the person
more complex.
Has to be open, and the pet is part of the equation. And just because somebody doesn't follow through doesn't mean that they aren't able and they aren't connected in a spiritual context. It's
exactly.
Just that you're validating something that they needed to hear. Whether they follow through isn't really the point. It's did they hear what they needed to hear?
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's a lot of people that feel that if their animal isn't acting a certain way, that they don't love them. So I'm here to tell everybody that your animal loves you no matter what. And, for example, this one woman called me because her dog wasn't sitting on her lap. And she had a dog prior to this one who had crossed, who sat on her lap all the time. He was a big snuggler. And this one, same breed, wasn't a snuggly kind of dog. So she thought that this dog didn't love her. So she wanted to get another dog. And I said, well, what are you going to do? You're just going to get like a whole pound of dogs until one sits on your lap? I mean, it's not about that. And so, yeah. And she did anyway, you know, and then I said, well, if you're going to, this is the kind of animal your current dog would like and the age of that kind of animal your dog, your current dog would like, et cetera, which of course she didn't listen to at all and got a puppy, which she didn't, you know, whatever, whatever.
I know. It's the lessons on the path. Yeah.
Yeah,
hang on.
Exactly.
Hang on. Hang on. We got to take a break. We're going to take a break. Again, we're talking with Sue Pike, animal communicator, and learning more about the nuances of all the contracts we have with our pets and the animals in our lives, because it's incredible, fascinating, and there's more to the story, no matter what it looks like on the surface. Conscious Living continues on Empower Radio.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the Instado. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side. And you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's a helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha-ha! I win! Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Conscious Living and Empower Radio, I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. We're talking with animal communicator Sue Pike. And we talked a little bit before the break about the guy who had to go through a situation where the dog would not reveal something he considered basically personal information. All right. It was between he and the guy's wife. And that was the end of it. So when the dog wasn't forthcoming with that information, then the guy went ahead and said goodbye to the dog and put him down. Now, behind the scenes on some of that, is that these are lessons for all of the individuals involved. And it was so funny because my producer was talking and said it was too bad the guy had to learn his lesson through the dog. some of these scenarios require us to work with animals because we are not going to get the lesson through another human being.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is it's sometimes because we actually care more. We've allowed ourselves to become engaged more with this animal, no matter what it looks like to anybody else, in a way that we could not do with a human. And so that gets the point to us quicker and more powerfully than any other kind of interaction. Make
yes.
sense?
Yes, definitely. And that's why I firmly believe that they have soul contracts as well, because that was his soul contract to come to this man, because he knew he would listen to him above anybody else, any person, like you're saying, because of his strong connection with that dog. I know it might sound ironic, but he did have a very strong connection and love for
mm-hmm.
him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my thing. I thought the way I talked about it earlier, it was like I might have implied he didn't love him, and that wasn't the issue. The issue was he didn't know how to connect in a way that he could understand why the dog chose what he did. And so that felt like he was not being loyal. At the same time, the dog was trying to give him a message about it didn't mean he wasn't loyal. It meant he knew how to honor privacy and boundaries, which the guy didn't have.
Exactly. So each animal, and like you're saying, it's definitely true. They are here with us to teach us things that we may not hear or find out from a human, because we are so connected with our animal friends. And by the way, speaking of animal friends, a lot of people, you know, project their own stuff on their animal, and a lot of times when you have, let's just say, two cats and one cat passes, some people think that they want another animal right away to replace the one that has died. And a lot of times the animal, the cat will say to me, or the animal that has survived will say, well, actually, not really. I kind of enjoy being the number one animal around here right now. And it might not mean that, I mean, it might mean they will in the future, but at the moment, they're kind of digging just like being the number one cat or the number one dog or whatever it is. And so don't assume that your animal will want another friend right away, because they might not. And animals grieve too, which is what I wanted to touch on as well, because they have lost their buddy, their partner. And some people think that's strange or whatever, or a lot of people think that their animal is grieving, but they're not sure if they are. And let me tell you that they most likely are, but they understand. And in fact, they've known before the animal has crossed that they're sick, because they can sense it. They can smell it. They can feel it. They know it. And plus they talk to each other telepathically as well. And, what you can do, there are actually flower essences that I work with. I work with a company, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name of it, but they have all alcohol-free flower essences, which I prefer for the animals because it's not as harsh on their little bodies. And there's actually one for grief and loss. And there's also one called New Beginnings. They have a special animal wellness collection. And these flower essences work on them mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and it will help them get through the transition of losing their friend. We can take them as well, obviously, and the animals love when we take them with them. They love to have everybody do the same thing. And in fact, my cat, I had a bunch of flower essences for him, and he would sit there and wait until I took mine, and then he would drink his out of the water bowl. Just wanted to make sure. Okay, Mom, I'll do it, but you do it first.
That's right. Okay, you're the guinea pig. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, also, some people only, you know, they start out having one animal, and then they think, oh, my goodness, my animal probably wants a friend. Not necessarily. So if you're wondering that, it's a good time to contact an animal communicator, because a lot of times they don't want a friend. They want to be the number one animal in the house. And or if they do, it actually may be different than what you're thinking. So believe it or not, some animals will want a different breed. Or if they want the same kind of animal, they will want you know, maybe a male instead of what you're thinking, a female, or vice versa, or they have a specific age they would want you to get, et cetera, et cetera. So they have their own thoughts and feelings about a friend, and it may be completely different than what you're thinking. Also, be careful what you name your pet. If you give them a derogatory name, they don't like it, just like people don't.
There's a wonderful movie, The Animal Communicator. Then she works with an animal in there, and they name I can't remember, was it Diego? And he didn't like the name because it meant devil. And so they renamed it was one of the first things he said. And the people, they were very skeptical believing that anything could be done about this animal. Anyway, it was a wild cat that they had worked with in their rescue. And he's, no, this isn't going to work. She's going to come in, and this is just that animals is vicious and is a threat and dangerous, and we don't really want to put her in that situation. Well, so she goes and deals with the animal, finds out a lot of different things, and at the end of this little scenario, and I think there's a 15-minute clip of it on YouTube where you can watch the transition and the information she gives, and they're just like totally dumbstruck that she could get the information and that it would be accurate. But the upshot, they renamed the animal.
Yay. Yeah, I've had that as well. You can't change the name of an animal, especially if it's 4 or 5. Yeah, you can. So, and they'll be really grateful. I had this one dog. Her name, well, I don't want to say to protect the client, but it was a very kind of unique and strange kind of name, actually. And the dog said, could you just call me Lucky? And so they said, well, I don't know if that's really, I don't think the dog just said that. And I said, well, why don't you try it? You know, it doesn't hurt. And we were all outside, and the person said, okay, if you like that name, Lucky, come over here. And the dog ran over, jumped on them, started licking them, and they were like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, all righty.
I guess we're going to call them Lucky now.
It's just that easy, and people are just, you know, amazed that it could be so simple. But that's what happens when you listen to your pets or the animals around you. They actually have preferences, and they have wishes and desires, and most of the time it's just that you pay more attention to them, whatever
really
that happens to be, you know.
And give me another treat, please.
Oh, treat first. Yes, that's
treat first. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to point out that all animals are sentient beings, all animals. So people ask me, can you talk to a dragonfly? Yes. Can you talk to a dolphin? Yes. If it has a soul, which they all do, as animal communicators, we can talk to them. And nobody's, you know, better or stronger or worse or whatever than anybody else. Everybody has their own unique qualities, which actually the horse last night said to the woman, I want you to see me as a whole being. I don't want you to just see me as this machine that performs. I want you to see my whole being so you can see your whole being. And you can see all of the other horses that you work with and their people for all of their unique qualities. I was like, okay, Miss Horse. She was amazing.
I love it, because there are so many wonderful lessons. They're incredibly connected and insightful.
There's
a book you were talking about, Can You Communicate with Dragonflies? I remember after reading J. Allen Boone's book, Kinship with All Life, and it must have been like the mid-90s or something. In there, he talks about this relationship with a fly. And so I remember where I was, and I had just been working more with my own intuition and different ways of connecting. And so I thought, well, good grief. You know, he talked about that. And so there was a fly in the duplex we were living in. And I thought, I could try this. And so I asked the fly, if you come sit on my finger, I will not harm you. I will take you outside. If you want to go outside, you'll be okay. If you stay inside, I can't guarantee anything. Mm-hmm. And especially with my dogs now, not back then, but now they fly chasing is like one of their entertainment sources. So I can't protect anybody here. But back then, It was a cat, and they so. But it was so. I had no expectation. I just put that out, and the fly landed on my finger, and I took it outside, and I was it. That was a game changer. Because it was just that instantaneous response where I produced a result and the fly said, yeah, duh, gone. You know, so those, yep. And J. Allen Boone, that's a great book. If you haven't read that before, Kinship with All Life is a really extraordinary book about animal communication.
Check that out. I haven't read that one. Sounds amazing.
Oh, man.
But
yeah.
And people can do that with ants in their house, you know, talk to them, you know, figure out a compromise. You know, I do work with compromises a lot, like especially with animals that perform. They just want to have days off and play, you know, so it's, I'll do this for you if you do this for me. And if you have a problem with some ants or whatever you have in your home or apartment or whatever, you can talk to them and, you know, thank you. Is there a message for me? You know, maybe it's coming back over and over again because it has a message for you. And if you're not familiar with ant, what ant represents, you can Google it, actually. There's also a great book. Stephen Farmer has a few books out, and there's one, Animal Spirit Guides, and he has pictures of all the different animals and what they mean and what they represent. So if an animal keeps coming to you and coming to you and coming to you, there might be a reason why, especially if they come to you more than three times. But going back to the ant situation, you can say to them, I know that might be really great for you in here, but can we work on you possibly going to the tree outside? And this is why. And not just, you know, please go outside. You know, tell them why. You know, we are in a human form, and it's a little different for us, but I appreciate your beauty. Whatever it is, you want to tell them and thank them for coming, and then you can ask them to leave, but tell them why.
Well, it's something that people aren't used to doing.
Exactly.
So exactly. It might feel a little foreign at first, but give it a shot and see.
Yeah, why not?
And I grabbed Stephen Farmer's book on power animals, but it that one doesn't happen to have ants in it. I know there are medicine cards with Jamie Sams. That will have animals in it. Or Ted Andrews, Animal Speaks, he also has, he covers
That's
insects
a great
as
book
well.
Too. Yeah, definitely. You know what it is? It's seeing things from the animal's perspective. Get down on the floor. What are they seeing that you don't see? You know, see things from their perspective. And not only ask all the time what they can do for you, but what can you do for them? How can I make your life better? How can I make things easier for you? What do you need? You know, see things from their perspective. I also want to mention real quick, too, about sound, that animals hear so much more intensely than we do. So to keep that into consideration, especially if you're traveling, I mean, I know we all like to crank up our tunes and stuff, but if you're traveling with a dog or an animal, you know, remember they hear things. I don't know the numbers, so I'm not going to make it up, but they hear things a lot more than we do. And so just keep that in mind. There's also a company, so amazing, a woman is a musician, singer, songwriter, but she also is a composer, and she studied different decibels for different animal breeds and what helps them relax. So she studied dogs, cats, horses, and birds, and she actually made music for each of these breeds. Her name's Janet Marlowe. She's amazing. So a lot of times I recommend people just bringing some music for the animal if you're traveling with them, especially if they have anxiety traveling, because a lot of animals do, and you can even turn it down so you don't hear it, but the animal does, and it helps them relax.
We do that with Chloe, my cat. When she travels, there's a flute music CD that if we can play anything else we want, and eventually she'll be going and, you know, all these wonderful little meow sounds, and then when the flute music comes on, she's in the zone.
Yes.
So we've heard that music, 14 hours, you know, back and forth, 24 hours. It's like, whoa! But as long as that music is playing, she does not put up any kind of a fuss. She just has her own special Chloe zone and is like, man, what is it about that particular? It's the frequency.
Yes. It's all about frequency, which is all about what animal communication is really. I mean, it's really about tuning in It's like a radio channel, you know, but it's like the animal spirit channel. You just kind of tune in to it, and that's where you get your information, you know. And I get things either by a word, or the animals will show me a scene if I'm asking them about their life prior to the person having them now, you know, if they've been adopted. And the person wants to know about their past, I might see a whole, like, little movie of what it was like for them. I could get a feeling or a knowing, and I also, because I do energy work, you know, I feel their symptoms. So if they're sick, I'll feel it, just so I can help them with that. But animals love when we visualize or imagine things. If you're talking to your animal, they understand a lot more than you think they do, but if you add a picture to it of what you're saying, even better. And also, animals know days in sunrises or sunsets. So if you want to tell your animal that you're going to go out of town for, you know, 3 days, start a countdown 3 days before. In 3 sunrises, I'll be gone for 3 days, 3 sunrises, and then do the next day. In 2 sunrises, I'll be gone for 3 sunrises. And while you're away, you can, if they're not with you, imagine a gold cord of light going from your heart to your animal's heart with a feeling of love, and they will love it. It's like a 1-800, I love you phone call to them. So if you're ever traveling without your pet and you want to send them a feeling of love, they would love to hear from you that way.
I wanted to add, since you were talking about the ant, I'll give the little overview in just a minute, but this is a compilation. So if you're listening, you can go on to lynsdomain.com. They have all sorts of totems. And a cool thing is this information comes from the resources we were talking about. Stephen Farmer. Mm-hmm. There's one that was in there. I don't have DJ Conway, but the other one is Ted Andrews, and then Jamie Sams and David Carson. These are wonderful resources for people who are interested in doing animal work. But the ant, I think, speaks to the show today. It was a perfect time for you to pick up on that one. Patience, order, and discipline. So if you're learning how to connect with your animal companions or the animals in your life, a person who does this is a person who is, if it has you as a totem, community-minded, sees future needs, a planner, content to build your dreams slowly over time, and content in knowing that everything will come to you in time. But the ant teaches you how to become the architect of your life, and that great success comes with persistence, and it shows you how to work with others. So basically, the overshot here of the ant is the promise of success through effort. And sometimes just a correlation and bringing something up, even though it was a subliminal or subconscious and totally maybe disconnected kind of happening, is synchronistic with what we're talking about. And if you're hearing this, then maybe there's a little message of insight for you. In the meantime, Lynn's Domain is the name of it. And any information you're getting today, though, comes from Sue Pike. And you can check her out, her website, her blog, one way or the other. You can find out more information, tons of content on the Animal Channel or .blogspot or with the website or Facebook. I forgot about your Facebook fan page. I didn't mention that, but the website, SueIKeepEnergy.com. And then the
Sue Pike Energy. Yeah. SuePikeEnergy.com.
See, that's my totally abstract. I missed that. You won't get it doing what I just said. Okay. Sue Pike.
SuePikeEnergy.com. That's Sue, P-I-K-E, energy.com. I
would ask him to edit it, but it's too funny. Could you please take this out of the program? And he would. If I said, please just delete that. But you know what? That's just real. Okay.
I think I like that too. Yes.
He's going, nope, not this time. It's staying in there. Darn it.
That's in there, miss.
Yeah, you got to own that one. But that's what happens. It's just this wonderful, I think, synergy. You go through life and you have to say sometimes there are going to be opportunities to derail and then come back with a plum or some other kind of fruit. Or a flower. And the other thing I wanted to bring up too, because we've been talking with you, but the connection you have, I thought it was so telling that your husband's book, Robert Kopecky, it kind of gives a wonderful underscore, because what he's talking about, How to Survive Life and Death, A Guide for Happiness in This World and Beyond, you guys are such a good, I think, a good connection, a good complement to each other.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, I don't know you personally, I just know the stuff, the information you share and you talk about, it seems like a very harmonious vibe.
It's very harmonious, and it's just beautiful to have someone who supports what you do and understands what you do as well. You know, it's just a mutual admiration society, because I understand what he's talking about and he understands what I'm talking about.
That's important to mention too, because as we get into these kinds of topics and this kind of experience, it helps to have a support system and others who are also saying, oh yeah, I get that, or I've experienced that, or I can appreciate that, instead of saying, eh, it's a woo-woo.
Yes, and I actually highly recommend that to everybody that I do sessions with, everybody that I talk to, that you need to be around like-minded, supportive people. They might not understand it, but if they support you in what you're doing and where you're going, awesome. You don't need to be around people who don't, because there's plenty of people in this world, and especially now, that are really on this track and are really into, you know, opening up their third eye and really connecting to their six senses and really living from a place of love and tolerance and patience. And so be around that. Shine your light. Don't be afraid to shine your light and be around other supportive, amazing people like yourself.
When you start doing that, then you'll actually gravitate and you'll feel this sense of a need to connect with others, or at least to read or explore information that might not have appealed before. And so it doesn't mean that you're going to have to go join some community somewhere out in the mountains. You're just going to start finding yourself drawn to new circumstances and new ways of thinking, and that it's as easy as that.
Yes, and things will just appear. That's how it happens when you're ready. It will disappear.
Yeah. My nightlights started appearing. I didn't know I was ready. But that's the thing. There's a lot of magic. There's a lot of unknown. There's a lot of amazing in the world. And if you just say, well, what might happen with this? Or where is it leading? Or what can I learn? You open yourself to extraordinary possibilities. And when learning Reiki, you open yourself to extraordinary possibilities. When learning animal communication, it just changes. I had an attunement, and I've been doing this kind of connection work ever since I started channeling in 1997. And so the Reiki was part of what I had been doing, but the attunement was a different sense. And the attunement then happened with the teacher, and I had dreams prior to that, kind of acclimating me and saying, and they gave me a set of red robes with these symbols on them. And I'm thinking, oh, good grief, this is connected to this upcoming attunement. And then I was getting information on different things that have never been around or done, getting, you know, starting to eat miso soup and starting to use this. I'm like, what the heck?
Right.
And it was because of this shift, to help support the shift and basically cement my intention and underscore a change that I had agreed to make. And so these kinds of things you will get intuitively, subtly, as part of your agreement to say, I am open to this. And then your world will shift on different dimensions to say, uh-huh, yep, we heard you. Here
it
comes.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Think big.
Yeah.
Think big. Imagine big. Feel big. Allow big. That's my favorite word, is allowing. And I've been saying this mantra lately, well, for a while now, that I allow higher frequencies to be integrated into my DNA. And so what happens with that is there's, you know, it can be a little wild because, you know, things need to be kind of shaken up or shaken out, so to speak, to have these higher frequencies come in. So get ready for an amazing ride. And it's just, like you said, it's just beautiful. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And you will start feeling and knowing and seeing, like you did, all the symbols and the robes and everything for Reiki. These things just happen, you know, all the time, and to just go with it and trust it. And I wish I had, well, I don't want to say I wish, no regrets, but it is definitely a great thing to follow your intuition, even and especially if it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I'm doing an animal communication session, and I hear this word or I see something, and I'm like, huh? So I just say it. I mean, I've learned to just say it. And it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense to me, but it makes sense to that person.
There's a whole lot of trust.
Totally.
Your information comes from unconventional sources, and that's what it's all about, is trusting
yep.
that source. And yep. you just, you know, it's just your
it.
Ability to make the connection between the two. So you're the venue, the vehicle, the channel.
Right, which is why I like to tell people, you know, when they're learning how to expand their intuition and they're learning how to get in touch with it and trust it, to just go with it, especially if it doesn't make sense.
All right. You got the best sense there from SuePikeEnergy.com. Is that better?
Perfect.
I don't keep energy. I give energy here. Remember that. All right. You'll connect with her. TheAnimalChanneler.blogspot.com. You can reach her there too, or Facebook. And thank you, Sue. I appreciate your information. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Wendy. And you do as well. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for listening to Empower Radio. Back with more on conscious living eventually. That's what we do. See ya.